Hello again from Beyond the Estuary. I think this past week or so, we've all been watching the events in America, the terrible death of George Floyd and the demonstrations and riots that came about after that. And then, of course, the demonstrations in Australia that underline our own attitudes, our own racism, and the terrible facts of deaths in custody here in Australia. And I think poets have always been people who have tried and understand what these events mean and put words around them. And there's certainly plenty of African-American poets that we could look at. A couple of that come to mind immediately, James Baldwin and Richard Wright, African-American writer who ended up having to go to Paris because he wasn't accepted in America. And another poet that you may have heard of, Maya Angelou, and one of her best-known poems, I think, is I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And this is a poem that I think is worth listening to, too. So I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou.
Caged Bird by Maya Angelou. A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till his current ends and dips his wing in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom seem through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees and the fat worms waiting on a dawn-bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare screen. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom.
Well, that was Caged Bird by Maya Angelou, and that wasn't her reading, I don't think. She was an American poet, a singer, and a civil rights activist. I think she published 7 autobiographies, 3 books of essays, and several books of poetry, and really she worked for over 50 years in the field of writing. I found another poem read by her, which is even more dramatic, I think, Still I Rise, and I'm going to play that one for you too now.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh, as if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance as if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling and bearing in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, there I go.
Well, that was a fantastic. I think I prefer that poem to the one I read earlier. Maya Angelou, have a look out for some of her work. Sadly, no longer with us. I also found another contemporary African-American poet, Reginald Dwayne Betts. And it's an interesting poem, the title of When I Think of Tamia Rice While Driving. Now, Tamia Rice was a 12-year-old African-American boy who was shot by police in 2014. Another example of police brutality in America. And Reginald Dwayne Betts is the author of a memoir and three books of poetry. And he was actually in prison himself for a while, I understand. I'm not quite sure what for. But anyway, now he's a PhD student at Yale Law School, so that's quite a turnaround. So this is his poem, When I Think of Tamia Rice While Driving.
When I think of Tamia Rice while driving, in the backseat of my car are my own sons, still not yet to Tamia's age, already having heard me warn them against playing with toy pistols. Though my rhetoric is always about what I don't like, not what I fear. Because sometimes I think of Tamia Rice and shed tears, the weeping all another insignificance, all another way to avoid saying what should be said. The Second Amendment is a ruthless one. The pomp and constitutional circumstance that says my arms should be heavy with the weight of a pistol when forced to confront death like this. A child, a hidden toy gun, an offset of fives before his heartbeat beats twice. My two young sons play in the backseat while the video of Tamia dying plays in my head. And for everything I do know, the thing I don't say is that this should not be the brick and mortar of poetry. The moment when a black father drives his black sons to school and the thing in the air is the death of a black boy that the father cannot mention. Because to mention the death is to invite discussion of taboo. If you touch my sons, the crimson that touches the concrete must belong at some point to you. The officer who justifies the echo of the fired pistol, taboo. The thing that says that justice is a killer's body mangled and disrupted by bullets because his mind would not accept the narrative of your child's dignity, of his right to life, of his humanity, and the crystalline brilliance you saw when your boys first breathed. The narrative must invite more than children bleeding on crisp fall days, and this is why I hate it all. The people around me, the black people who march, the white people who cheer, the other brown people, Latinos and Asians, and all the colors of humanity that we erase in this American dance around death. As we are not permitted to articulate the reasons we might yearn to see a man die. There is so much that has to disappear for my mind not to abandon its sanity. Tamir, for instance. Everything about him, even as his face really and truly reminds me of my own in the last photo I took before heading off to a cell, disappears. And all I have stomach for is blood. And there's a part of me that wishes that it would go away, the memories, and that I could abandon all talk of making it right and justice. But my mind is no sieve, insanity is no elixir, and I am bound to be haunted by the strength that lets Tamir's father, mother, kinfolk resist the temptation to turn everything they see into a grave and make home the series of cells that so many of my brothers already call their tomb.
So that's a poem about a father driving his children to school while he's thinking about playing the video of the shooting of Tamir Rice in his head as he goes along. Last poet for today, another African-American poet, contemporary poet, by the name of Carl Phillips. And he's been described as one of America's most original, influential and productive of the lyric poets. And he's the author of a dozen books of poetry. And he's certainly prolific. This particular poem, it's not so much a protest poem, it's actually a love poem. So, I mean, African-American poets are not out there just writing protest poems all the time. They write poems about all the other issues that affect us as human beings. And this is one of his love poems from a collection by the name of, title of Silver Chest, Carl Phillips.
Silver Chest. Unafraid is what we were, I think, and then afraid, though it mostly seemed otherwise. I opened my eyes, I saw, I closed, I shut them. The usual morning glories twist up through banks of gone wild by now holly. Crickets for song, morphos for their glamour, which is quiet, blue and quiet. You, the dark that nothing, not even the light, displaces. You, who have been the single leaf that won't stop tossing among the others. For you. Thanks.
So that was a poem that actually won the Griffin Trust as a prize poem, I think, in 2014. So there's just a few of the African-American poets talking out, not about only about injustices, but also about the ordinary things like love and loss that affect us all. And I just wanted to share with you today, before I finish, I won't read one of my own poems, but just I had a quite a good review of my new collection, Songs of the Godforsaken, came from Gordon Thompson, publisher at Clouds of Magellan Press. And I'd just like to share with you this review of my poetry collection. He says, "The collection, published by Picaro Poets, put me in mind of a lovely collection, Heaven's Backyard by David Lander. John catches a poetic thermal from St. Augustine, the prophets and the evangelists, as well as suicide bombers, iPhone upgrades, and refugees who fall from aeroplanes. He reflects on his father, on people no longer with us, yet who remain to trouble our journey. Hints of late Clive James. A fantastic collection with memorable words and images. Nature and popular culture rub shoulders here, and there are warm, hot night encounters for the discerning reader. I particularly liked The Song the Wind Sings. You hear them on train tracks, those voices of departure, the songs of farewell." And then he just gives the contact to my website where the book can be purchased. So I'll leave you on that happy note and look forward to catching up with you again next time. Thank you.